But, you know, we like to start the show off with lots of positivity. And what greater way to encourage positivity than talking about our athletes of the week? Jothan, I want to go ahead and introduce those that we have for this for our past week.
For sure. So starting off with our athletes of the week, we got our men's golf, Andrew Koch. So congratulations to him.
Good lad. In one of my classes. Really good lad. Really good
yeah.
lad. Can vouch for him.
And then from the women's side, we got women's lacrosse, Lizzie Laurie. So those two will top out as our athletes of the week.
Good for them. Good for them. And again, our lacrosse team. We'll cover that in a few minutes. But on a tear, as per usual, on a tear. So as we start off, as always, with our men's football team. And I think a word I would use to describe them is just surprised right now. You know, not, you know, disappointed because, you know, we've done a lot of good things. It's just it hasn't resulted in what we wanted to result. Mm-hmm. It's just I personally, for me, I use the word surprised because I'm just we've done this, planned for this and this. We executed this and this. It just I'm surprised that this actually happen, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. Especially when you have a homecoming game, you're looking for a nice dub in front of the fans, in front of the alumni, in front of everybody who's come out. And it's unfortunate when you lose a close game like that.
Oh, absolutely too. Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at it, we established our identity. You know, Laurier is well known to be a running team, and we got over 200 yards on the ground alone. That's more than enough, if you will, for a team that, you know, is well known for predominant run, for a team that's been game planned against to stop that exact play, for us to be that successful and accumulate that many yards, I mean, goes to show that what we planned to do worked out in our favor. It's just the final result was unfortunately an L instead of a W. And, you know, as it is, it's a team sport. You can never point to this guy or that guy or, you know, this play or that play. It's always a collection of things. And unfortunately, there was a lot of batted balls at the line that led to interceptions, a couple of pick sixes. And, you know, that's, again, to reiterate my word that I used at the start of this to describe the team, surprised.
You know, it's not an outcome you wanted to see. So you lose 24-27, and which now tops out to meaning you've lost the last three games. So in your opinion, Keith, where does what has to happen at this point?
What has to happen is, you know, to be straight up, there's some changes being made. You know, as everyone will see going forward, and it's just a matter of rallying around those changes. And, you know, always sticking true to your fundamentals that we're a good team.
Yeah.
You know, we believe in ourselves. We mm-hmm. believe we can put ourselves in a position to be successful in the end of October, even November, if you will. And it's just sticking to that belief and coming to work every single day, practicing like the player that you believe you are, like the team that you believe you are, and just implementing that belief. You know, this Friday against Carleton, next Friday against Windsor, and then the following Saturday against Western in the season finale. You know, any points like that on that, Jothan?
It's definitely a situation that Laurie hasn't found themselves in a few years, finding them this far in the season without a winning record at this point. So it's not what you envisioned at the start of the year, but I think there is a positive on this, is that over the last, three games, you've lost by a combined 6 points, which typically you don't see teams losing by such small margins at this level. So when you add all that up together, you really know that you can play and you're there, you're in these games, and these games are coming down to the last drive, whether or not that field goal can get kicked. And it's like the little points that are left off the board. It's the hidden yardage, those plays where you get a flag and you move you back 5 yards, which puts you out of field goal range and you're punting instead. So it's those little small details that you find yourself in with an L in the column rather than a W.
Absolutely too. And I think even with those details, there's definitely a factor of luck. I mean, it's as much as you never want to incorporate that into, you know, your game plan or this or that, because I mean, it's not, you never incorporate that part of me, but it is part of the finale, you know, it does always come play a part of it. You never expect to get a batted ball down to the, you know, next defensive lineman where he runs it all the way in, you know, three batted balls that lead to pick. You can't expect that, you know, off fingertips leads to a pick six, you know, you never plan for those things to happen. You know, again, is it a mistake on someone's part? Maybe, maybe not. Again, situational. Is it luck for, you know, the Guelph player being in the right position? Possibly. You know, maybe he just was in the right position. All these things are factors that you just, they aren't quantifiable. You can't measure this kind of stuff. It just simply happens. It happens in all sports too. You know, hockey, you get a crazy slap shot. The next thing you know is a crazy bounce, ricochets off this guy or that guy. Next thing you know, it's in the back of the net. You know, there's so many different things that could happen to accumulate to such a thing. And unfortunately, on our biggest day of the year, well, second biggest day, if you will, Oko, we just didn't have the luck on our side. And, you know, maybe we just had the wrong luck of the Irish, if you will. We just need a St. Paddy's luck.
So one thing that U Sports does, they do it for a multitude of sports, and it's very important. Well, I wouldn't say important on the sense of football teams themselves care about it, but I think there's a lot of hype around it, is the weekly top 10. So U Sports Esports has come out, and Laurier is still in that top 10, being the only team now with a losing record in the top 10.
Absolutely, too. You know, coming in eighth place like that, a 2-3 record just really goes to show just how much respect we have as a team. And ironically, if you will, the team in 10th place to round out that top 10 is Guelph. You know, so it really does go to show that I truly believe, you know, I'll go ahead and say this. I don't mind if I'm biased on this statement here. I think Laurier is a better football team, you know, from top to bottom. You go from quarterback all the way to your, you know, strong safety. I think we have enough players to go pound for pound that we could take on Guelph. It's just, again, a couple of bad bounces here and there that didn't go our way.
I think what is also interesting is one team that is left off of that list is actually McMaster. McMaster is a team who now have beaten Laurier by 1 point, and then they've beaten Guelph, and which was in itself a close game. I think it was, what, a 3 or 4 point game?
Yes.
So it's interesting because you're looking at a McMaster team who is not on that list as well. And then an Ottawa, which Laurier had beaten in the first game, is now sitting in fifth place, where actually Laurier was sitting last week. So what are you making of this in terms of, are you buying this list? Are you thinking Laurier deserves to be there? Or are you thinking, you know what, this is the right place and there's maybe these games should have been won?
You know, again, I think what needs to be understood, bottom line, is these lists are just that, just a list. You know, it doesn't dictate how good you are just because of how someone sees you on the outside or how these people look at you and this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want an example of that, if you did a power rankings in the NFL, for example, the Patriots in September would be one of the worst teams in the league.
But nobody will put them
but
there.
But nobody will put them there because they know that they're a good team. They know that they can accomplish these things. And just sometimes they have a bad start. And again, unlucky bounces, this and that happens. You know, they're capable of so much more. And I think when you look at these lists that are being made out there, you see Western and Laval and Calgary up there in the top three. And then, you know, you go down to the teams below that too. It's just, it's not so much a vision of what their record is. It, you look at the team as a whole. You think, if I put this team pound for pound, who has a good shot against a Western? Who has a good shot against a Laval? And who has a good shot against a Calgary? What a team. We already saw it too. Waterloo against Western. We saw what happened. And Waterloo beat Laurier. You know, they're a very respectable program now. But Waterloo against Western, I'm not too sure if they, you know, they played again. They played maybe 9 out of 10 times. Western's going to win 9 out of 10 times, you know, because that's just, they are that much better built a team than Waterloo is right now. It always changed going down the road. So again, to reiterate, these lists, bottom line, are just that. They're just lists. You know, I can tell you a little insider secret here. We never really care too much about the lists.
No.
I mean, we'll look at them every day, sure. They're interesting to us, but it's never something that, you know, we hang on too much. You know, we really focus on. It's just something like it's there. We'll look at it, is what it is. But at the end of the day, all that matters is who's playing at the end of November.
Before we leave off of this, one thing to note is leading the conference right now in rushing yards per game is Laurier's Lavondre Gordon with 110. So that is above Ottawa. That is above Western. So Laurier, that ground and pound style, like you said, it's clearly working. And also on this list is Laurier's Curly Gittens Jr. for receiving yards a game at 119.2. So the offense is there. You're seeing it's right up there. It's whether or not can we finish these little things to win these games.
Absolutely, too. And I can tell you one thing. We're going on the streets looking for some four-leaf clovers this upcoming weekend. We're going to make sure we don't break any glass or see any black cats. We're going to...
Salt over the shoulder, no ladders.
Oh, nothing. Yeah. We're getting some luck. That's all we need is just a little bit of luck. Because we have all the stats. They're all right there. Curly, Dre, it's all right there. We just need a little bit of luck right now.
So if you want to catch Laurier's next game, it'll actually be this Friday. So breaking from the schedule, it's not a Saturday this week because, of course, Thanksgiving and the long weekend. We want to get home too. So it'll be at Carleton in Ottawa. So you can catch the game actually on OUA TV if you don't want to make the trip all the way up to Ottawa. If you are from Ottawa, hey, go to the MNP Park. You can catch the Laurier Golden Hawks on Friday, October 5th at 1 p.m.
Should be a great game too. And again, it's do or die mentality. We're just hoping for a little bit of luck.
That's all it is.
Switching gears now to men's baseball and talk about a team that's just been productive this year. And quite frankly, their past couple of games they had here, well, four, their two series they had, pardon me, against Queens and University of Toronto, they ended up splitting those series. Their first game against Queens, they lost 4-3 in 9 innings. And their second game, they were able to be victorious with a score of 6-1 in only 7 innings. And then, unfortunately, in our game against Toronto, bit of a tougher outing there. Starting pitcher Ben Braun came in. He had strong first three innings, but then, you know, as things happen with all pitchers in baseball, you know, the Kershaws, the David Prices, all of them, they all have their bad days. And unfortunately, Ben Braun had one of his bad days.
Yeah.
A rare bad day.
Started the game off real strong in that first game against Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it's that sixth inning. Toronto put up 8 runs in that inning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really broke it. It's impossible to win a game if you're going to give up 8 runs in an inning.
It takes away a lot of momentum and it really kills the vibe around the clubhouse at that time. But again, this is game, I'm not going to count count like probably 20 or so out of like 25. So, you know, the one thing I've always thought about baseball, you know, speaking a little bit about the MLB season here, is they have like 180 something games right there. Like if you ever have these one-off games where your pitcher, you know, your ace in the hole just doesn't have a day, you know, just things aren't going his way, you know, it's not the end of the world. No time to panic. It's no time to say, oh my God, what are we going to do? We have to make playoffs. This and this has to happen, et cetera, et cetera. It's a one game thing. Let it happen. You know, learn from your mistakes, fix your things that happen and just go from there.
There's no time to sulk. You just got to move on and play your next game.
Yeah, precisely.
And that's exactly what Laurier did. They came out the next game winning 6-4.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge, great job for them to respond like that. Coming out strong in that game out there, too. And that's exactly what they needed to do. You know, after having a tough loss like that, it's just you put it right behind you. And that's, you know, one of the beauties of baseball in that, you know, you have a game basically 6 out of 7 days a week. Sometimes you get a day off. Not always. Sometimes you get that day off on the seventh day or so. But you can have a really short memory because you're just right back at it the next day. And they're able to be productive at it.
That day. They're back at it that day. I always thought that is interesting is how is base. I've personally played football throughout high school, so you never get that opportunity to play right after you just played.
Oh yeah.
So they had a 12 o'clock game and then they play again at 3:30. That thought is just impossible in football.
Oh, absolutely too. But I actually did play a little bit of baseball myself.
You did.
It was a crazy league. It was 12 to 18 year olds. So I'm telling you, when I was 12 going up the bat and some of these 18 year olds were pitching, I'm like, my God, I had a streak where like I was always a guy known to get hit by the pitch. So my on-base percentage was phenomenal, but never really. Anyways.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you had, what kind of an 18-year-old would want to pitch at a 12-year-old?
Some of these kids are remarkable at a younger age these days. I don't know what they're feeding them. Some in the grass or something. I don't know. But they just, I was a big target, I guess, and they just wanted to hit me instead of, you know, right down the plate. So again,
I mean, if anybody doesn't know, Kiefer is, what are you, 6'4"?
6'4". We don't need to talk about weight, but 6'4". You know,
6'4", you're an O-lineman, so you're a larger guy.
Big lad.
You hit the gym, so you're a pretty big built guy.
I mean, I'd like to think so.
So, I mean, you would be quite the target at base.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I seemed inviting for them or something. But what I'm trying to get at here is it's besides a pitcher where you're throwing it like a million times a day, you know, I mean, over the course of a season, maybe a million times. Anyways, besides a pitcher where you're just constantly working your arm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of standing around in baseball, you know. Aside from the fact when, you know, the ball is in play and this is happening, stuff like that. They used to call, was it left field, you know, where you put your worst player? I played in right field, actually, so thank God.
Oh, but wow. Good on you.
Because oftentimes, you know, you'd be sitting there picking daisies and a lot of times kids weren't strong enough to be dinking it all the way out there and stuff like that. So to have a game back-to-back like that, it isn't completely unreasonable because, like, again,
it's not physically demanding.
It's not that physically demanding, exactly.
Unless you're a pitcher.
Unless you're a pitcher.
Where your arm is just going. I understand.
You know what? I just had to bring this one up here because I remember hearing this guy at baseball game say this once too, is if you ever pay to go to an MLB game and you're lucky enough to catch like a no-hitter, a perfect game, you really got to think about it in this philosophy. You just paid, you know, however much money to watch two guys play catch. I always thought that was hilarious to me. Like, that's amazing to see. It's a remarkable feat.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. But, I mean, essentially, you just watched guys warm up.
It's just two guys just pitching it back and forth. Phenomenal. But, again, our men's baseball team, phenomenal team they are. They got their next game coming up against Laurentian, and that will be on the 5th at Bechtel Park. So, again, that's a back-to-back game at 2 o'clock and at 5:30. So, if you want to see some good baseball, come on out.
And that is here. That is in Waterloo. Yes, go support your men's baseball team. Because, you know what? They've been winning. And it is nice when you see a team that is just, when you're playing some baseball and they're hitting it out of the park and they're just having some, go watch some great pitching.
Oh, absolutely.
Go watch some great pitching.
Absolutely.
So if you want to go catch that, right now we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. All right, and we're back.
One, pick up ourselves right where we left off.
you were dying to use that the whole time. You were just dying to use that. Absolutely. I'm glad.
I had to fit it in there.
Oh, boy. All right, so we picking up back with women's soccer, who played one game since we last spoke to you guys on Sunday, September 30th. And it was in Waterloo here at 1 o'clock, and they tied with Windsor.
Which is a huge point.
That is.
Huge point.
Especially for this women's soccer team, where they started the season off a little bit slower, and those close losses, those really close losses, those 1-0 losses, which really you want to at least just get the tie because then you get the points out of it. But unfortunately, they weren't able to get those points out of it. But this game, at least being able to bring it back and get that tie late in game. Gagan Pahar with the lone goal in the 84th minute off of penalty kick.
Penalty kicks are crazy, eh? Penalty kicks are crazy. You know, I always remember watching those back in the World Cup days. I always got to love talking about the World Cup days. And, you know, you felt like a penalty kick was almost a given. But, you know, what really strikes me is one of the worst penalty kickers in the world is Lionel Messi, one of the best players in the world. And, you know, I think just looking at that alone goes to show that no matter how given a thing looks, it truly isn't. It truly is not. And, you know, again, by no means should how it scored be taken away from the fact that that was a huge goal coming in so late at that game at the 82nd minute like that. That is huge.
Super clutch on Gekke Mbappé's part like that.
And that whole game, they were just peppering the Tendi with shots, eh? Got off, what, 11 shots too for the entirety of the game, with the one sneaking in behind Mrs. Christine Brooks from the Windsor goaltending side. So again, huge kudos to them. Wow, you know, truly got to give a lot of kudos to Gekke Mbappé, because she had a strong right foot or left foot. She had 7 shots on the day. 7 shots. Take that in for a second.
That is a lot of shots. I mean, that's a lot of work over there.
Yeah.
If you're getting 7 shots on net.
Somebody cover her.
You know? And I mean, hey, and none of them were going in. So she got rewarded with that penalty kick.
Oh my, that's like they had to at that point there. She was out here working her butt off to get those 7 shots. I mean, someone just give her a chance to get her the goal. My goodness. But, you know, kudos to her again for being able to finish that off. And got a huge game coming up for them now. A huge game coming up for them now.
Coming up tomorrow. This is another Battle of Waterloo game coming up. So if you don't like Waterloo, like the rest of us here at Laurier, and you just, and we've had some good success this year in the Battle of Waterloo. Let's keep it rolling. So the women are going to take on Waterloo tomorrow at 6 p.m. That's going to be at Waterloo. So it's going to be at Warrior Field. So if you want to go support them, by all means, go do that. And also facing off against Waterloo will be the men's soccer team.
Absolutely, too. And talk about a team that is just in dire needs of getting some absolute goals and getting some production out there right now. They've been having it a little bit tough lately, as they too played Windsor. And unfortunately, things just didn't work out the same way in the results column for them, as Windsor came out to a strong couple of goals in the first half and a couple of goals in the second half. We're up 4-0 by the 75th minute until Josh Allegro of the men's soccer team potted a goal. And you know, the thing is, it's good to score those goals because you just build a little bit of confidence for yourself. You know, it's even like, you know what I like to think about is when you're watching basketball in the NBA, if you will. You know, when a team's up by a lot and they put those rookies and stuff like that, you know, you want them to go out there, perform, make a name for themselves. You know, by going out and hitting big shots, you know, playing phenomenal defense, it really just builds confidence for down the road. And whether or not that's the rest of this season or that's next season, or, you know, that confidence even translates to something else, you know, maybe in the classroom, maybe outside in their social life, whatever it may be, it's still vitally important to get these opportunities and capitalize on them, because you just, again, you never know what could happen.
Exactly. Inch by inch, you'll slowly work your way, and all of these goals, all of these games, sometimes it doesn't help you this season. It helps you next season when you have that experience under your belt. And you're totally right. Getting that confidence and going, this season hasn't gone the way they would have liked it. Some real close games that have slipped away from them. And unfortunately, this is another game that slipped. Laurier currently sitting second last, just above Algoma right there in the Western Division of the OUA. But these are the games that, you know, it builds confidence. And again, the Josh Allegro goal was on a penalty kick. People love apparently tripping up in that penalty area.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's such an inviting box. I mean, why not? And, you know, again, I know we just touched upon it, that the men's team does play Waterloo tomorrow at Warrior Field at 8:15 p.m. But, you know, I want to put a little extra emphasis on this game, because the last time they played, you know, the men's team, they got out to an early 1-0 lead within the first 15 minutes, I believe it was. And there's so much momentum going for them. And then, unfortunately, things went down. They lost 3-1. But, you know, you take those moments and you learn from them. And I think tomorrow could be a really good opportunity for them to learn from mistake they had from last time, you know, not getting a little too full up, that emotion of scoring that big goal, getting that lead for themselves. And you might just see a really good effort tomorrow at Waterloo Field that could lead to a really good result for them. So do be sure to check that out.
And then also be tuned in, because Saturday and Sunday, both the men's and women's teams will stay in Waterloo, but Western will be coming here and traveling. They will play at 3:15 for the men. It's going to be Western. And then they're going to play McMaster on the Sunday. So if you're around in Waterloo, you didn't go home for the holiday, stay around, come support your Golden Hawks, because they have a few games to play this coming week. So go support them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Switching gears now to women's lacrosse. And I don't think we say it enough, but talk about dominance and accomplished. You know, you're talking about a team that goes out week after week and just knows, hey, we're gonna freaking win this game. We believe we're the better team out here,
and they know they're the better team. That's what it is.
Every single game they
know. There is not a doubt in their mind when they go to these games that, hey, are we gonna win? No, it's what are we gonna do after we win?
Oh, absolutely. How are we partying? You know, how are we celebrating? what drinks are we buying tonight? You know, these are the things they think about because they're so successful on the pitch out there. And, you know, got to give big kudos to them as they played Guelph and they kind of made up for Laurier's Hoco loss, if you will. And they won that game by a score of 11-9. And then on the same day, they also happened to play Brock and they won that game by a score of 20-8. So again, you know, the Guelph game, a little tight, but, you know, maybe they're having some fun. They want to give them a little bit of hope, think, hey, maybe you can get us this time. But Laurier Lacrosse always does. They come out on counts most.
I think, honestly, this is three games Laurier has won right now, which is they are on a hot streak right now. They are rolling in second in the OUA. Now, that is an awesome record when you're factoring in, hey, we are going to, like, it's not good enough just to win. It is domination on their part. And it's awesome to watch.
Absolutely, too. And, you know, to highlight a couple of key players out there playing some big parts for Laurier Lacrosse is a player like Taylor Miller had a fantastic weekend for the Hawks as she had 5 goals and 3 caused turnovers and 10 draw wins. So that was huge on her part there to get those kind of production for a team as well as Haley Montague and Abby Clayton also contributing some goals. So, you know, gotta give a shout out because it's, you know, everybody's helping, everybody's contributing. And again, we have a leader like Taylor Miller out there, you know, just everyone just wants to follow the wolf pack. You know, it's all the wolf pack. When the alpha wolf is biting, getting the food, everybody eats. Lacrosse team, everybody's eating on this lacrosse team.
Like you said, it's that momentum. Once you get that momentum going and once you have that key player that steps up, like a Taylor Miller, you get that attack and it's contagious. Everybody wants to get in on that. And right there, then you can't be stopped once you have that momentum.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they say momentum is the most dangerous thing in sports. It doesn't matter if you're the best team or you're this or that. If you're just hot and you're just feeling like nothing can stop you right now, then most of the time nothing can. You know, you see it so many times in hockey and football, basketball. One guy just has a hot hand. He's scoring all the goals. He's hitting all the deep threes. You know, Steph Curry, he's always a guy that has momentum. You know, it's just the most dangerous thing in sports, which I want to advocate too. I think I'm yet to see video games replicate that. Just putting that out there. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a Madden or a 2K ever replicate that.
I think the only game I've seen do that was the, I want to say NCAA 07.
Oh, because they had like the
They had the momentum bar. Mm-hmm. So, like, your team would actually play worse if the momentum wasn't in your favor.
And that's crazy.
It made it impossible because once you started going on a roll, it was like you had to hunker down to get back in that game.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And they quickly got rid of it, though.
Oh, I missed that. That's a great addition right there because it just creates so much more realistic things to incorporate into the gaming lifestyle. But moving things over now as we're flying through things kind of quick. And before we jump ahead too far, actually, we're going to slow things down and take a little petite break. We'll be right back. Back on Hawkeyes with some women's rugby as they played their fourth and final regular season game of the year. And it was a pretty good game for them, wouldn't you, Joe Finn?
25-0. It's a great victory.
Huge.
There is no better feeling, I'm telling you. When you go out there, you do everything you got to do. Ignore the fact that it's a crosstown rival. Ignore that. Ignore the fact that it's on a Sunday. So it's a great way to start your week. Mm-hmm. But you go out there, execute, and you hold them to no points, there is no better way to win. Absolutely. You just feel, honestly, we're better than you when we proved it.
That's like so much better, like insurmountably better than the opponent.
Oh,
one of my favorite things to happen is when a goalie gets a shutout, you know, and I have him on my fantasy team. That's like 9 points right there. So that's just, it's so huge for your team going forward. And, you know, just to think of that feeling being replicated with the women's rugby team, to come out for the last game of the regular season like that and get a 25-0 shutout, that's huge. That's huge. Because, I mean, as you said, just straight dominance. You just know you're the better team than them.
Exactly.
To highlight a couple of big performances we had out there, is Bister had 2 tries to give her 34 points on the season. She led the Hawks in scoring this season, as well as there were some tries by Abby Stacey, Juliet Lewis, and Haley Desjardins. So congratulations to them for a nice team effort. Remember, Joe, I went over the whole rugby thing and stuff like that, so we do have an idea of how that works.
Oh, next. Yeah. I think I'm an expert now.
Yeah, I'd say so at this point, you know, after we got over that. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so that's 5, right? 5, 25, 25 to nothing.
Yeah, 5 divided by 25 divided by 5.
Hey, I always got to check my math sometimes, okay? I'm a comm major.
Come on.
I'm doing my writing.
Come on, man. But hey, with this win, Laurier clinched their playoff spot.
Oh, they get a 5th game.
They're coming back. They're not done just yet. So their next game is against McMaster. It's going to be at McMaster. So that is this Friday. So go and cheer. Now, I'm asking y'all to go everywhere across this province to go cheer for your Golden Hawks. Y'all better
get your cars ready with some
But you gas. Should go cheer for your Golden Hawks. There is nothing like playoff action.
Oh, yeah. So exciting. So, you know, just the playoff atmosphere in all sports, if you will. It's just everything's vamped up. There's so much tension on the rink or pitch or field in front, whatever you're looking at in front of you. There's just so much action, so much tension going on there because, like, every single thing matters that much more by tenfold, if you will. So it's so exciting to watch. And for women's rugby team, again, I preach this every time we talk about this team. Only four games is ridiculous, in my opinion. But for a team that's only had four games, to get an extra one, to get a fifth game out there, you're going to see them grinding out there. You're going to see them out there leaving it all on the table, just head over heels. And it's going to be a true team effort, which I wouldn't be surprised if you see them come out with a victory.
I tell you what, I would want more games. And the only way at this point to get more games is to win. And you got to keep doing it. And you know what? These women have been, this last game was 25-0. The game before that, 36-17. Mm. So these ladies are out there. They're wanting to win and they are doing it. So get that next game because your Golden Hawks want to support you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'd love to be out there for them. No question. No question. Shifting gears now to the men's side of things. They got a few more games in the women's team. Again, my opinion. You know, I think it should be a bit more equal, but that's just me talking. They played against the RMC at Navy Bay, and the RMC came out to a bit of a strong start. They got the first try of the game, coming out to an early lead. Until Laurier, they, how shall I say, turned on the jets. They just kept trying and trying and trying and getting more tries out of those trying efforts.
Never be a comedian. Oh. Please, never be a comedian.
And they came out of that game with the result of 55-7. So, you know, you can ask yourself, which team's better? Or you can just look at the box score and answer that question for yourself.
And let me tell you, it tells you everything you need to know.
Oh, absolutely.
That box score tells you everything you need to know. There is no better feeling when you go on the road. It's a business trip. And one thing Laurier did on that trip was handle business.
Oh, that's so important to do. So important.
It is so important to do. And so congratulations to the men's rugby team going all the way up to Kingston and coming back with the dub.
Mm-hmm. Huge for them. Huge for them. That about wraps up our sports recap of the week. Again, we got Thanksgiving coming up. Any big plans for yourself this weekend, Jonathan?
For me? So usually my family, we just kind of hang out. My family does it on Mondays.
Oh.
So usually the apple picking thing, then it's the dinner.
Do you go through a cornfield?
No, we don't do all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's not us.
Not for you.
What about you? What you up to?
You know, I'm going to have a turkey, of course. Got to have a turkey, the mashed
classic
potatoes.
Classic turkey dinner, yeah.
Got to have a nice apple pie mixed in there at some point. You know, it's really just classic favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Classic favorites. And, you know, I've never been a big fan of the other stuff, too. I did a corn maze once. It got lost immediately, of course.
The most Kiefer thing.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That is the most Kiefer.
It's a little fearful in there. I'm not going to lie. Cause like, it's just, you go at night because you have to. You have to get the atmosphere.
Cold. Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, you don't know where you are. You
that's
could
a,
be that, by
that's
yourself.
The point of a maze, I think.
Yeah, you know, I thought the whole, like, if you hold on to the walls and you go around the walls, it's kind of, if you just follow it enough, you'll get your way out. But it didn't work.
Apparently, that's not how mazes work. Not a mirror, like those haunted mirror houses.
No, it didn't work. Did not work. I was in there for a little bit, at least probably 30 to an hour. But
wow.
Looking forward.
You really got lost.
Looking forward to the weekend and food to come.
And the time off. Yeah. Reading week, so that's going to be a nice, relaxing time.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. Even though we'll still be up here, getting after practice, because we got Windsor coming up.
Yep.
So again, thank you guys for joining us. We do appreciate it, and we wish you all a happy night and a happy reading week.
Have a great Thanksgiving.